Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again to Retro Wrestling and another round of the UWF Fury Cast, the only podcast where I, Gene Jackson, lose brain cells weekly for the sake of your entertainment. Or at least I hope you find it entertaining. This week, we're diving headfirst into UWF Fury Hour, episode number 12, where Herb Abrams continues his descent into wrestling madness. We've got Viking promos, big man squash matches, wrestlers attacking each other with chairs, and Cactus Jack literally bleeding all over the place, way before most of you had even heard of him. Now, let's get this show rolling before I change my mind. This week, we open with a few words from Craig DeGeorge and the living legend Bruno Sammartino before we pitch it to Herbie. Herbie lets us know we'll see the Viking. We're going to see Iceman, King Parsons, Cowboy Bob Orton with John Tolos, Ivan Koloff, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and our huge main event, the unpredictable Cactus Jack taking on Don the Rock Morocco. Now, that has potential to actually be a good match. We'll see if Herbie can screw that up. But before we go to the ring, let's hear from that master of the mic himself, the Viking.
The Viking is back. I told you I'm going to hurt every pencil neck, every pipsqueak who steps in my way. And there's only one way they're going to leave the ring is on the stretcher. Hurt. I think UWF should start to sell life insurance too.
There you go. The man certainly has a way with words. You got to admit that. The Viking, of course, he would go on to be Ludwig Borga. We kick things off with the Viking, the Finnish madman with the dumbest looking headgear in wrestling history. Even Mantar calls this guy a goof. And he's taken on a man called the Lion, who you'd assume would have some sort of lion or cat related gimmick, but you'd be wrong. He's inexplicably dressed like a baseball player. He even brings a bat to the ring and starts the match while still wearing his baseball cap and a batting stance as if he's about to hit a baseball. Now, credit to the Lion. He's got a solid look, but he gets absolutely ragdolled here. The Viking hits what he calls a powerplex. He drops him throat first across the top rope out of a press slam position. And after all that impressiveness, his big finish? An elbow drop. That's right. 2 weeks ago, they actually stretchered a guy out of the arena after taking a fucking elbow drop. Not from the top rope to the floor, not from the ring apron to the floor. He just bounces off the ropes and hits an elbow drop, and they sell it like it is absolute murder. Yeah. You just got to check one of these episodes out to see it, to believe it. Of course, the Viking, as I mentioned, the future Ludwig Borga. If you haven't seen his season 6 episode of Dark Side of the Ring, it's definitely worth tracking down. His story is a doozy, well beyond the wrestling aspect of it. Post-match, Herb Abrams, our roving reporter at ringside, catches up to the Viking and asks him why he has to devastate these opponents this way.
I am fed up with this guy. What made you come to this?
Who is this hologram smurf? He asked me questions.
I beg your pardon? I beg your pardon?
I said, who is this overgrown smurf asking me questions?
Why do you have to maim? Why do you have to maim your opponents? Why can't you just go in and wrestle? Why do you have to hurt them?
Because I like to hurt people. This overeaten taco squeezer, Burger King. Yes. Why don't you swim back to the corner where you came from? But I'm here only for one thing. That's the heavyweight belt. So get me a guy who can wrestle.
We'll return after these messages.
Relive the glory days of Memphis wrestling with the Retro Wrestling Review USWA podcast. Each week, we go back in time to review USWA Championship Wrestling from the 1990s, episode by episode. Join us for watch-alongs, behind-the-scenes stories, and exclusive interviews with people who were there and lived it. Whether you grew up watching it or you're discovering it for the first time, this podcast is your ringside seat to Memphis wrestling history. It's all a part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Listen now at uswapodcast.com.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the Wrestlacopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the Wrestlecopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it Wrestlecopia.
Tired of the same boring wrestling podcast? Need something with attitude, chaos, and maybe just a little cussing? That's STSPod.club, and we got it all covered. We've got wrestling weirdness with WTF News Desk, 5-minute time limit, and the Southern Fried Brain of me, BT, stirring the whole ship. We also have Rolling Into Mempho every week about the current Memphis wrestling. Interviews, hot takes, and wrestling outrageousness so wild it might get you banned in 12 states. That's right, it's SDSPod.club, or search all podcast catchers for Shooting the Shiznit, where wrestling podcasts grow chest hair. Not sure what that meant. Love my mama.
And sadly, that's probably not even the weirdest thing you'll hear on this week's episode of the UWF Fury Hour. Next up, Cowboy Bob Orton and John Tolos cut a promo putting over New York City and how clean the air is. Tolos calls B. Brian Blair the Bumblebee and proceeds to mime ripping his limbs off. I mean, it is a full-on psychotic episode here with Mr. Tolos. They're hyping up the big showdown at the Penta Hotel, which Tolos insists will end with Blair getting superplexed to death. That's right. I don't know. We've seen some of these botched superplexes from B. Brian Blair in the previous weeks that me and Bob Anderson talked about in the early episodes of the Fury cast. And I don't know. It's not out of the realm of possibility that perhaps Cowboy Bob Orton at this point could superplex someone to death. And John Tolos has predicted it will be B. Brian Blair at the Penta Hotel at the big clash at the Big Apple, or rumble in the Big Apple, I guess it's called. Honestly, it was one of the better John Tolos, Bob Orton promos we've seen on here. You know, if you're into meth-fueled Saturday morning cartoon-style promos, this is the one. And then they head to the ring for a match. Of course, Cowboy Bob Orton makes his way out to the ring to the Bonanza theme song, as he has in the past. That's fun. You got to admit that. He's taking on Jerry Cooley. Now, if you're not familiar with Jerry Cooley, no, he's not Wildcat Wendell Cooley's brother or cousin. He is a 460-pound black man who looks like the love child of Mo and Mabel if they actually had a kid together. And seriously, watch this episode and you'll see that line is spot on. But to Orton's credit, he bumps, slams, and works his butt off here. John Tolos, as always, cheats at every opportunity, throwing shots, distracting the ref like his life depended on it. And Orton eventually wins with a top rope knee drop. He's obviously not going to try to superplex this guy to death, or he'd probably take out himself and Mr. Cooley. But after that big top rope knee drop, he locks on some kind of half-assed leg lock. He's attempting a figure four, but it just looks more like a toddler trying to tie his shoes. It's kind of embarrassing. But eventually, Mr. Cooley gives up, and we get a win for Cowboy Bob Orton. Fuck. DeGeorge is still calling referee Larry Sampson Larry Sanders, but this time he finally catches himself and corrects himself in the moment. Come on, DeGeorge. We gave you a break last week, but this is your second week here. This is our top babyface, referee Larry Sampson. Let's get it right. He's not Larry Sanders, for God's sakes. Next, we get an ad for the new UWF 900 hotline. What on earth could they possibly have to tell us that's worth paying for? The 900 hotline. That's what everybody had them back then, folks. UWF finally figured out how to get one. And of course, they ended up having the UWF 900 hotline. And of course, they had 1-900 Hot Bruno, which I can only imagine what the hell that was. But anyway, it was a thing at the time. If you weren't around in the 90s, it was definitely the trend. Anyway, I don't know what would be worth paying for on a UWF 900 hotline unless they're going to explain to us why Louis Spicoli is having a match against the guy who saved him from an attack by Colonel DeBeers last week, because that's what's happening. That's right. It's the debut of the Iceman, King Parsons, and he immediately brings some charisma to this dumpster fire of a promotion, but he's taking on Cutie Pie Louis Spicoli, who is the man he saved from Colonel DeBeers last week. But this week, it's like none of that happened. Cutie Pie is right back to doing the comedy heel gimmick that he was doing prior to that odd one-off match last week. But Parsons is having none of this Cutie Pie shit. He lays in some, looks like some pretty stiff, legit shots. They have a decent little match until he hits, you know, most promotions call that the butt bump or the butt. But here, they call it the rump buster or something to that effect. I can't remember exactly what it was. But he pins Louie. He gets the win. Nothing flashy. Just Iceman getting over by being cool and kicking ass the old school way. He cuts a promo after the match where basically he says, Colonel DeBeers, you put your hands on my cousin Larry Sampson, and now I'm going to put my hands on you, because blood is thicker than mud, baby. So, yeah, blood is indeed thicker. I don't know, not really. I mean, here in Alabama anyway. But at least he got his cousin's name right. He did manage to say Larry Sampson, unlike Craig DeJours, who continues week in and week out to call him Larry Sanders.
Iceman, how come you came here to the UWF?
I'm here for a reason and not for a season. Colonel DeBeers. See?
A lot of DeBeers.
Yes. A lot of people don't know, but Larry Sampson is my cousin. He's not a fighter. He's a referee. So, Colonel, if you don't like what goes on over here in this country, why don't you carry your own? See? Because, see, now it has become a family affair. See, blood is thicker than mud. Yeah. And when you put your hands on Larry, I'm putting my hands on you. Can you dig it? Yeah. Like mama says, it bees that way sometime. Have mercy.
I don't know what's, you know, who's more unhinged, Captain Lou Albano or John Tolos, but they decided this week to put them together in this week's episode of The Captain's Corner. And boy, these two scream at each other like two dads arguing over a bad umpire call at a kid's little league game. It is absolute madness.
Yes, yes, wrestling fans, this week it's Captain Lou Albano back again with The Captain's Corner, and I happen to be a little bit upset. You know, wrestling fans, I vowed some time ago that I would retire from the world of managing. However, my good friend B. Brian Blair came to me and said, Captain Lou, you know what went on. You know what happened with Honey. You know that John Tolos and his man had the audacity to put the hurt on this lady. And John Tolos has to be watched. He said, Captain Lou, I know you're not in the world of professional wrestling, and you're probably not capable at your age to handle professional wrestlers. However, he said, I know that John Tolos you can cope with. And John Tolos, come out here right now. I want to tell you, in New York City on January 9th at the Penta Hotel, 7:30 a.m., I will be there in the corner of B. Brian Blair. I can't beat any wrestlers, but you're one guy that does not impress me, and I'm going to keep an eye on you.
What are you talking about? What's the UWF trying to do to me? What is this, a conspiracy against the Golden Greek? What is it? As he told us, week, I'm coming into New York with my stallions, like gentlemen. Why are you in the corner?
I'll tell you why. They're appalled at what happened to Honey out here on TV Land. They saw how you interfere in matches, and they said, Captain Lou, we know that you can cope with John Tolis and keep an eye on John Tolis, and we want you on January 9th at the Pentagon Hotel to be in the corner of B. Brian Blair, and I'll be there.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You started this. Ever since came to the UWF, mixed everything up. Used to be a great guy, now you're nothing but garbage.
That's right,
but
Coach.
I got news for you. I'll be there when
Orton. That's right, Coach.
There's no question about it.
That's right, Coach.
And if you ever interfere in New York with me, I'll tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now.
All right, Coach.
And listen. You listen very closely.
I'll be there.
You make one wrong move, man. That's going to be the end of you.
Don't you make a move. You stand in that corner and stay there.
I'm coming to New York. I'm coming to New York with my boy. And I'm coming to New York to put a little more polish on that apple. The Golden Greek is coming. And I'm going to tell you something. He's coming with a blast. And I'm going to tell you something. If you make the wrong move, it'll be the 4th of July.
I said, don't worry about me making a wrong move. Don't you dare move out of that corner. You got it?
I'm ready for you, pal.
This segment is just absolutely off the rails. Or perhaps that was the problem. Maybe there was a couple of rails involved. Anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Bob Smith, and guess what? The Outdated Wrestling Hour is now part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. But hey, no fear, you're still going to hear the unique guests, comedy, music, authors, journalists, funny people. Who knows who's going to end up on the Outdated Wrestling Hour? Remember, it's all new and all old. So check it out. The WrestleCopia Podcast Network, and wherever you get your podcasts. Listen if you know what's good for you.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty, and if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Then we go to this week's box office, where Herb and Bruno are sitting in front of a green screen of a box office where you buy tickets for a wrestling show, and they are plugging the upcoming UWF Fan Expo coming up at the Royce Hotel at LaGuardia Airport in Queens, New York on Saturday, January the 12th, which this was back before, you know, conventions and wrestling fan expos were a common occurrence. So it's actually pretty cool, you know, that the UWF's kind of ahead of the curve, at least in one aspect of the business here, even if not from the wrestling side of things, you know. At least you could go meet some of these guys if you were prone to. Then we cut to a Dr. Death promo. He's in a tank top talking about how New York knows who he is because he played for the New Jersey Generals. And then we get a promo from Orndorff following that's probably way more intense than it needed to be. But these guys are really selling this upcoming match at the Rumble in the Big Apple. So should be something to see. Then there's an Ask the Wrestlers segment where Paul Orndorff explains his workout routine, and his secret to staying in shape is not doing drugs and stretching, which, okay, I guess it depends on what drugs, but nonetheless, Orndorff, he's going to return to the ring after being sidelined by that big Dr. Death chair shot, which we see again. And again, luckily, we see the edited version of it. But man, they show that. Then we cut to Paul Orndorff storming the ring. He's coming down. He's pissed off to MC Hammers. You can't touch this. Just no matter how many weeks I see this, it just always feels odd to see Mr. Wonderful and his big bedazzled bathrobe coming out to you can't touch this, especially this week when he's so angry. He tears into the intern, and of course, adding insult to injury, the intern, being the punching bag he is wearing a Dr. Death Steve Williams t-shirt, which, as you can imagine, did not set well with Mr. Wonderful at all. Mr. Wonderful hits him with a vicious pile driver, gets the pin, rips the t-shirt off the intern. And then he's approached at ringside by Herb Abrams, and Orndorff cuts the most intense promo the UWF has ever seen. Orndorff says, "You split my head open on national TV. Now I'm going to end this. Dr. Death, you're going to pay." And hell yeah, this finally is something that feels like a real live wrestling feud. Maybe a match that, God forbid, may not end in a double count out or a disqualification. Maybe perhaps we'll see a main event match with a winner. I don't know. It's something to hope for anyway. But let's hope that this big match at the Penta delivers. Main event time here on the Fury Hour. And it's time to see The Rock, Don Morocco, who just debuted last week. Well, now he's taking on the unpredictable Cactus Jack. Don Morocco versus Cactus Jack, what can only be described as kind of a slow burn brawl that ends up turning into a literal bloodbath. At one point, you know, Cactus opens with headbutts and punches, and then at one point he hits himself in the head with a chair multiple times. It's not like a steel chair. It's like a wooden chair, and he takes it and he just rams his head. You need to see it. Again, you know, maybe watch this episode or at least skim to the main event. But this is the type of thing. It's the reason that they call him the unpredictable Cactus Jack, because who would predict that Cactus Jack would ram a chair into his own head multiple times? It's crazy. I don't know whether to laugh or call someone, but they brawl in and out of the ring. Eventually, Morocco pile drives Cactus with that unique version of the tombstone pile driver that he does on the concrete floor. And Jack gets up gushing blood everywhere, and the fans need rain ponchos like a Gallagher watermelon show. It's absolute carnage. The wildest thing we've seen here on the UWF. Jack gets counted out while bleeding all over the ropes and trying to chew his own hair. And this match was an absolute freaking mess, but I dare say it was entertaining as hell and one of the better UWF matches we've seen in the first 12 episodes thus far. So that wraps up UWF Fury Hour, episode 12, featuring violence, chaos, comedy, and blood, and not necessarily in that order. Next week, we'll see if Herb Abrams can top this madness. Was episode 13, or if we can finally reach the point where even Bruno Sammartino finally says, "What the fuck are we doing?" and gets up and walks away. It's bound to be coming, right? He's not going to make it through all these episodes. There's no possible way the living legend's going to put up with this horse shit, right? You'll just have to keep watching and waiting and seeing. Subscribe, like, leave a review, and if you're still listening to the UWF Fury Cast, well, you may be more sadistic than Cactus Jack. That's all for this episode, and remember, I'm Gene Jackson, and I watch this shit so you don't have to. Catch you next time here on Retro Wrestling. Oh,